Sage. You know, I've noticed over the past few decades that every time the world experiences certain natural disasters, people start thinking, oh, this is the soon sign that Jesus is coming. Things like hurricanes, wildfires, war, pandemics, famine, things we've seen in the news even just recently. And then when we hear this news and some think, oh, this must be the sign of the return of Christ, it brings excitement to some and it brings fear to others. And I can see how people would feel one way or the other, depending on where they are in their walk with the Lord. So that's what I want to talk about this morning. And my hope at the end of this is to eliminate any fear that somebody might have when you see these things happening and you're thinking, oh dear, God must be coming, Christ must be returning, the end of the world is soon. You see, a couple weeks ago, because last week was Easter, a couple weeks ago, my message included some of the beginning verses of Matthew chapter 24. And this morning, I want to go back to one particular thing from that, where the disciples asked Jesus this question. What sign will signal the return of the end of the world and your return? The end of the world and your return. And then his response mentioned three specific things. He said, well, look out for war, look out for famine, and look out for earthquakes. So let's go to Matthew chapter 24, verses 3 to 8 today. Later, Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives. His disciples came to him privately and said, now tell us, when will all this happen? What sign will signal your return and the end of the world? Jesus told them, don't let anyone mislead you, first of all, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah. Well, they will deceive many. And then you will hear of wars and threats of wars. But don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Nation will go to war against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world. And then verse 8, but all this is only the first of the birth pains with more to come. Well, even before Jesus listed these three natural disasters, he said there's one sign that would be there to let them know that people would be claiming to be the Messiah. That's the first thing to look out for. Throughout history, there have been numerous individuals that have claimed to be the Messiah, both by their own selves as well as their followers. And these claimants range from historical figures in Judaism and Christianity to modern-day cult leaders. Notable examples include Jewish claimants like this guy, whose name I'm sure you've never heard of. I had never heard of him either. Sabbatai Zevi is his name. And then Christian claimants, I bet you've heard of this guy, Sun Myung Moon and Jim Jones. Those were in the news some decades ago. That guy named Sabbatai Zevi, you hadn't heard of him. It was back in the 1600s. So this has been going on a long time. He claimed to be the Messiah, drawing followers and building a movement that later fragmented. Throughout history, there's been other Jewish individuals who have viewed themselves as potential messiahs by their followers. Now, the couple guys that you have heard of, Sun Myung Moon, that would have been, he was born in the 1920s, didn't die till around 2012, but he was believed by followers of the Unification Church to be the Messiah and the second coming of Christ, fulfilling Jesus's mission. And then the other guy you've heard of, Jim Jones. That was probably back in the 70s or so. He was the founder of the People's Temple, initially a Protestant sect, but later became a cult. And Jim Jones claimed to be Christ. We kind of know that story from the news. Someone else that's been in the news in the decades past, Marshall Applewhite. He was believed by his followers called Heaven's Gate to be Jesus. And that was one of the ones, among others, that led to suicide, group suicide, mass suicide. And then there's been a number of other individuals, including leaders of various cults and religious groups, that have claimed to be the Messiah. Well, that's what Jesus told his disciples back in year 33, this would happen. But the bottom line is that none of these people were the returning Messiah, Jesus Christ. And if Jesus doesn't come back for another 1,000 years, the list that's out there on the internet of people who've claimed to be the Messiah is just going to continue to grow. When the real Messiah comes, we're going to know for sure. So Jesus warned us, first of all, he was telling his disciples, he's telling us today, don't be deceived. People are going to say this, and it's not true. But then he mentioned three specific natural disasters. Wars, famine, and earthquakes. And so what I did as part of this message is I went and did a little research about those three topics. Just in the United States, and just in my lifetime, since 1955, there's varying, it's hard to get an exact number of the number of war or conflicts for sure. But from 1955 to the present, there have been numerous armed conflicts, including, not exclusively, but including major wars like the Korean War, Vietnam, and the war in Iraq. There's been others as well. And in addition to these major conflicts, there's been many other armed conflicts, including the Persian Gulf War, the Afghan War, war in Afghanistan. So you get the point, there's been a lot of wars in just my lifetime of almost 70 years. So I thought, well, I wonder how many wars have been occurring since the time of Jesus. Again, impossible to get an exact number. But historians have identified over 1,763 recorded conflicts. And then there's, of course, many other smaller skirmishes that never get formally recorded. Been a lot of war since my lifetime, since Jesus was here, and even before. The current data indicates that around the world, there are at least 150 armed conflicts going on at any given time each year. And the research I did said there's no year of recorded history where there's not been some type of war going on somewhere. Christ's words in Matthew 24 teach us not to be troubled about the wars or the rumors of wars. So here's the key. Don't let fear take over your faith. Jesus said to compare the increase in frequency of war to labor pains for having a birth of a child. Today, the world is embroiled in multiple dozens of armed conflicts, and the frequencies are increasing. We are at the beginning, according to what Jesus told us, we're at the beginning of these birth pains. But remember, Jesus said it would happen and told us to watch for it. And then here's the other message from Jesus, not specifically the words he used here, but throughout his message, is don't be afraid of these things. Be prepared. Don't be afraid. Be prepared. Now, the next disaster Jesus points to as a sign to signal his coming is famine. Famine, or worldwide food shortages resulting in mass starvation, also have occurred throughout history. We know of a major famine that occurred that we read about in the Old Testament that ultimately led Joseph to end up being one of the leaders in Egypt, and all that tended to work out. But I did some research as well on this issue of famines worldwide throughout history. Just in the past 100 years, here's some significant ones. 1921 was the Russian famine. It was influenced by government policies, and it led to the deaths of an estimated 5 million people. That's a lot of people. The Cambodian famine of the 1970s resulted in the deaths of about 2 million people. And that just seems unbelievable that 2 million souls, 2 million people of all ages, including children, I'm sure babies, lost their lives due to famine. But check out this one. In 1959 through 1961, maybe upwards to 3 years, was the Great Chinese Famine. And it was also caused by government policies, but it resulted in the deaths of, and this is a huge number, anywhere from 20 to 50 million people. There's been catastrophic famines all over the globe, places like Ethiopia, North Korea, South Sudan, Somalia, and we could go on and on. When the disciples asked Jesus for a sign of his coming, Jesus also foretold about shortages, scarcities, hunger, and deficits of all types that would upset the world at the very end, just before he returned. So we know famines are not new. But according to Jesus' words that we just read in Matthew 24:7, there'll be a scarcity of food in many parts of the world. And then he'll return. Now think of the famines that have purged millions from the planet, even in our lifetime. We see those images on the television sometimes where starving kids and even adults are kind of paraded before us on the news to give us a reality check of what's happening and bring it to the forefront of our minds about what's going on regarding famine. And sometimes it's a result of less food, not enough food. Could be the result of no water or dirty water. And then, despite the wonderful efforts of many charitable organizations, the problem still exists. And maybe it's bad or worse than ever. Hunger, malnutrition, disease, all a result of famine, no water, or even just dirty water. Now, this is something we don't always think about when we think of the word famine. Jesus used the word famine or scarcity in the plural to let us know that there'll be scarcity in every area. This will include financial shakings that will be repeated again and again. He was prophetically forecasting that there'd be financial instability in the world as the end of the world, as his return would draw closer and closer. In other words, the earth at that time in history would exist in a state of being financially troubled, stirred up, agitated, anxious, and upset in a lot of different ways. Has anybody been watching the stock market in the last couple weeks? Well, here's the message from Jesus. Don't be afraid, be prepared. So in addition to the hunger itself, Jesus was also forecasting deficits, economic shortages, financial hardships that affect all the earth. And those things will serve as another indicator that we're speeding close to the end of the age, the soon return of Jesus Christ to his church. See, that's who he's returning for first. The next thing that could happen on our prophetic calendar is that Jesus will return for his church. We'll be caught up with him in the air, the Bible says. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and then those that are living will be caught up in the air with him. It won't be till a later time where he'll actually come with his feet on the ground, and he will rule. The kingdom of God will be the rule of the land on this earth forever and ever. Okay, finally, Jesus specifically mentions earthquakes as another sign. Just again in my lifetime since 1955, there have been an estimated, got this off the internet of course, 19,370,850 earthquakes recorded worldwide. Now, this number includes all recorded earthquakes, ranging from the very small to obviously large events. Some of those are so small, yeah, they don't even cause any damage. But obviously, the large earthquakes, damage and casualties both. The National Earthquake Information Center estimates, get this, that there's about 20,000 earthquakes occurring every year somewhere on the planet. And I got to thinking about that. All the numbers of wars, all the famines going on everywhere, earthquakes, 20,000 a year. Aren't you glad we don't know about it all? Because we certainly know about enough of it. And we have news 24/7, and it covers everywhere of the world. But if the news just covered those three topics, it would be 24/7 of just war, famine, and earthquakes. And I can't imagine what that would do to our psyche. So while there's been a relatively large, the number of large earthquakes, magnitude 7 or greater, they've actually remained relatively consistent historically. But there's been some changes. For instance, 2010 compared to 1989. In 2010, there were 23 major earthquakes around the world. Prior to that, 1989, only 6. So there's a time period you could look at, small time period, and say, wow, look at how bad it got. Look at how worse it was. More frequent, more intense. But, believe it or not, the world is not experiencing a significant increase in earthquake frequency compared to historical averages. So that seems to be a little odd compared to the first two types of events that Jesus was talking about, natural disasters. Wars and famines seem to be getting more frequent and more severe, but not necessarily with earthquakes. So does that mean that the end is not quite near? I don't know. But I do know that three gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all made mention of these earthquakes in their gospels. In Matthew chapter 24, he writes that there will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world. Mark said it this way, nation will go to war against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in many parts of the world, as well as famines. But again, he reminds us, Mark says this is only the first of the birth pains with more to come. So as these things increase, are we to be afraid? No, we're to be prepared because this is what Jesus said would happen. And then finally, Luke wrote this. He said it in a different way than Matthew and Mark. He said there will be great earthquakes and there'll be famines and plagues in many lands, and there will be terrifying things and great miraculous signs from heaven. The Bible's prophecy about earthquakes alerts us to what's to take place in the near future. But Jesus said, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is a real thing. We don't think about it as much as we should, and yet Matthew, that's been his theme from chapter 1. I don't know how many times over the last year and a half or 2 years I've talked about the kingdom of God and Jesus talking about it. The kingdom of God is a real thing. In fact, it's going on in heaven right now. Jesus said, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near on this earth. I'm just about done. So Christians should not be in fear of war, famine, and earthquakes. That's kind of the main thing to get out of this message. In fact, it's not just the thing to get out of today's message, but as Jesus continues to teach and talk to his disciples, that is recorded in our chapter 24, this very theme continues over and over. He's going to give us some different parables even that's going to make this point over and over again. Don't be afraid of what's coming. Be prepared. In fact, next week, I'll be sharing a message of what's next after this to look forward to that Jesus said we need to be aware of. Now, so in other words, don't fear, be prepared. Preparation does not necessarily mean buying a gun so you can participate in the war. Preparation does not necessarily mean going to Aldi and buying a year's worth of groceries so you can prepare for famine. And preparation doesn't necessarily mean building an underground shelter to be safe during an earthquake. In fact, I don't know what you would do to be safe from an earthquake. Above ground, underground, I'm not sure what is safe. Preparation means this. Now we're getting to the very main point of the message. Preparation means that while we wait, because that's all we can do, while we wait and watch, we should get right with God. That's how we prepare. We can't stop the war or the wars. We can't stop famine. And we certainly can't stop earthquakes. So what do? We have to be prepared if something would happen that either takes our life or Jesus returns to grab his children, his church, that we're prepared for that. And the other thing we should do to prepare is to continue to pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples about the kingdom of God. You all know that prayer. In fact, I bet you all know it by heart. It's the prayer that asks God to send his heavenly kingdom to the earth. And that's how we're going to finish today's service, is we're going to repeat the Lord's Prayer. So join with me if you'd like. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Here, get this. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven already. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, my hope in today's message is to have eliminated any fear that people might have of when they watch the news and they hear the reports of things happening that might trigger them or people they know to say, oh, I bet the earth is coming to an end. I bet Jesus is coming back. That's exactly what you told us would happen. So now we know there's a solution to not have to have fear. And it's about being prepared. And I'm so thankful for the many in this room that are already prepared and have been prepared for years or decades. I'm even thankful for the people who just prepared most recently and just accepted Christ into their heart. And now they are protected. War may injure them, famine may cause them to miss a meal, and earthquakes may destroy their home. But they are protected for all eternity because they're preparing and have prepared their heart to be with you for all of eternity. So Lord, as we finish today's message from you and we continue throughout your other warnings, your other signs that we're to look for, help faith to overcome fear. And in that, we'll give you thanks. And we'll say all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And now, folks, go and be blessed and be a blessing.
Cincinnati, because it's great on that.
What suburb is it?
Remember? I don't know. Or I can tell you if Miami, does that sound right? But it's close to Finley Market. You know where Finley Market is? It's a great place to go. It's now open out near Market. So, but yeah, so we'll be.
Well, I know on the east side is the old Coney Island.
Yes, but it's all closed down right now.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're trying to find things to do when we're over there. So, yeah, yeah, 20 minutes maybe from the zoo.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That's huge.
Well, thank you. And you know what? You guys scared me. Because I looked back and I didn't see you. Like you remember said, I thought, oh, something's happening. And but there you were at the other end.
Yeah. So, heading down to Florida.
We're heading to Florida, yes.
Down to Kathy and Zuma's place.
And you know it. You know it. And we're so thankful for that.
Yeah.
And Jan's sister and brother-in-law were going to go.
Good.
Because they told us, they said, it's three bedroom, three bath, take somebody with you.
Absolutely.
So we're just thankful.
Have a good trip.
We will.
We'll be praying for you.
Well, thank you so much. Well, I'll be here next Sunday.
Oh, you'll be here next Sunday.
Yes, it'll be Mother's Day when I'm gone.
Oh, okay.
Don't try to get rid of me sooner than I'm gone.
I'm so sorry for you.
Marvin, good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you.
Yep. Thanks so much.
Yeah. Steve is there. I worry about Steve. He seems like he doesn't make it. He doesn't really have any desire to improve his life.
Well, maybe he'll, something will happen while he's in jail. That'll change his heart and his mind and everything. Yeah.
Yep.
Scott, good to see you.
Good to see you again. Yes, sir. Yeah. I'd like to say hi. Thanks for the. Today was good.
So did Dave pick you up?
No, Mike's in Haley.
Oh, good to see you guys.
See you, Jim. I was trying to get back to the Vikings, so I just came in by myself and I saw Dave sitting there. So
yes.
I invited me to hang out with him, so I did.
Well, he's a good guy to hang out with.
Well, that's quite a
Well, I saw Mike posted a picture of the turkeys in the background, but I didn't know where he was.
Yeah.
He can't play all the way up there.
Now, does he own the property down there?
He used to. I think he sold his part out.
We get with him.
Lane's birthday with his friend. We get with him. He was on the lease. So.
Okay.
He'll be home today, though.
Now, do you do hunting?
No, I used to a long time ago. But okay.
Like you said, 79 cents a pound, I'll go to the grocery store.
Yeah. That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
You know, when you think how much work it is, I've never made it as a pill smoker.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, I can just go ahead and take my grade.
Yeah.
We go to a drive-up window and order a bucket of chicken.
Yeah.
And it's done in a matter of minutes or seconds.
Yeah.
Right.
And those people, if they want a chicken, it's an hour long.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I better go.
Well,
bye. Hi. Did you have fun yesterday? Yeah, good to see you very much.
Oh, my goodness.
Catch up with you guys later.
Hey, it's good to see you.
Yeah, well, my daisies didn't turn out very daisy-like, but hey.
We're trying.
That's right. I was telling them at the table, I said, what's in my head? I can't get through my hands on the table.
It's impossible.
I can see it, but
me too.
I just skip through them.
Yeah.
See you Wednesday.
I don't worry about it.
Okay.
I'm glad I started.
Oh, yeah. It sounds like you're good.
You're getting the gist of it.
Yeah. Chad.
Well, where is he now?
He's still at home.
He's at home.
He's still at home. Doing better.
Day by day, I guess.
He was in the hot tub when I left.
Okay.
He's
still
like
doing that.
See
you then.
Thank you for your prayers.
And we will continue. I mean,
he's getting better every day.
So what's next? Just
follow
up. Heal.
Yeah, just let the body heal.
There's nothing he has to do, or
just take a lot of medicine. Okay.
We're
talking to pray a little bit too. It wouldn't hurt a thing.
Sure. Well, you keep being an encouragement.
Yeah. I'd sure like getting in here.
Well, you know,
maybe
in
some,
time.
One time.
Well, think how long it took us to get into church.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I didn't go until I was late high school.
Yeah.
That was only because Jan, I was dating
right.
her.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and if you didn't, Glenn probably hurt you.
Probably would have.
Yeah. Harry would have tried to.
He would have, yeah.
Take care, Bob.
Okay, Dave.
How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing wonderful. Good to see you, buddy.
Yeah, same here.
So, did you get to Martyrs on Friday, or?
Yeah, we came down Friday and spent Friday night and then came to the painting class.
Oh, that's right. Jan told me
yeah,
you guys were at
yeah.
that.
So we enjoyed that.
Oh, well, that was fun.
So we just relaxed Saturday afternoon then. And,
okay.
Well, she took us to Applebee's first, and then we went to her okay. house and just hung out.
Well, Jan said you three are really good artists.
I wouldn't go that far.
Well, that's what she said. So you all must have that knack.
Well, years and years and years ago, I took a lesson or two. It's a okay. home correspondence thing, so
okay.
I know some of the, you know, shading and whatever, some of that stuff that, I'm not really proficient at it.
Well, yeah, it's, sometimes we don't have time to do everything yeah. we want to do.
Yeah.
But drawing and painting were yeah. things you've done over the years.
Yeah.
Any particular type of, like, do you do pencil drawings, charcoal,
oils,
acrylic?
I'd be more inclined to do just sketching, like with charcoal or pencil.
Yes, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And are you a type that you can just, in your mind, sketch something out, or do you have to be looking at something and then do your sketching off
of it? I do better freehand, just trying to
okay.
make, rather than, I mean, I've done some things that, if you have, like an overhead projector, you can do the outline of it,
oh,
and then,
yeah.
and then from yeah. that outline, you know, yeah. just to get proportions right and stuff.
Yeah. More landscaping or people?
More still life.
Yeah.
Flowers?
Flowers
or, you know.
Mountain scene with trees and water.
I've been known to do some of that.
Do you
old
have any,
barn or something.
Oh, yeah. Do you have any that you've kept over the years?
We came across, it's really on a disc. The disc, you know, the round blade.
Yes.
I did a horse in the barn, horse in the pasture in front of the barn, and you know, you put a clock, you put one of those works of a clock, and,
yes.
and put the
okay.
stick on numbers around the
yes.
outside of it.
Okay.
You know, so we come across that when we had done. Marta's got a it's a chunk of old weathered wood that has a mirror in it, and by the mirror is a raccoon.
Well,
and I
yeah.
braided some twine around to make
okay.
Just a border for it. So just stuff
yeah.
that's...
Well, I have an interest in art things, and I've done some over the years off and on, but I haven't for decades now. But if you think of it, take a picture.
Okay.
If you come across one of your yeah. art projects.
I think we have an old hoe, just the blade of the hoe.
Yes.
That it's all painted black, and then I painted irises on the... Late of it.
So. Very cool. I love using stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Way back when I was in high school college, Dad cut wood a lot
mm-hmm.
and burned at the house. But when he'd come across like a nice walnut tree,
mm-hmm.
he would cut walnut slices about
oh,
that
yeah.
big, maybe that big around.
Yeah.
And I painted on those.
Oh, cool.
And I've done the saw blades and some odd stuff.
Yeah.
Old glass jars,
yeah.
like dark colored glass.
Yeah.
And it shows up really nice.
Yeah.
But man, I haven't done it for so long. Now, with the way my right arm is and has been the last 5 years, I still don't have the strength, dexterity, and all that, even with down to my fingers, to do some of that.
Yeah.
So, but I always enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Wasn't great.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Well, it's relaxing.
It is.
Yeah. Just trouble is finding that chunk of time to, you know, get everything out and then, you know.
Yeah. Now, are you adjusting to retirement, though, as far as you got
well,
more chunks of time?
Just that urgency kind of thing that you don't, you know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and then do it as it comes rather than having, it's got to be done by, you know, whatever. That's, I don't know that I'm doing less. It's just a matter of not having to, you know, have anything. I mean, it's nice to just have a Sunday come and spend with your daughter's church or go to my son's church or whatever.
Yeah. And try to get down there more often?
I don't know. Every other month we try to go at least anyway, if not more often than that. And then, of course, they come this way, so they were up for Easter.
Okay.
So that's kind of good. Yeah. Well, it was good to see you.
It was good to see you, Mark.
Enjoying your concerts, I hear. Enjoying your concerts. You go into
Shipshewana.
Yeah.
We've got, I think, about four more planned.
Oh, good. We really enjoy it up there. I mean, it's the fur piece.
Yeah, it is. And we would stay overnight. Yeah, I wouldn't want to have to drive back out the door.
Not anymore.
Right, not anymore. Hey, Parker.
I better catch up or I get left behind.
Yeah. Okay, you know what that is. I should go out for lunch somewhere.
Yeah, I think so.
All right,
I'll be
a
later
at some point. Yeah,
I'm just hanging along with that part.
We'll see you.
God bless you.
Hope to see you at one of the breakfasts soon.
Yeah, is it next week?
Well, but we'll be in Florida.
That's right.
Parker, come here.
All right.
We're getting good feedback on the blue style. Okay. Everybody likes to have that arms on and get up and down. So, where were those from? Do you have any idea?
Jan would know. She actually did the ordering of them.
Okay.
I forget where she found them. Well, she might know.
I'll talk to her.
Okay.
So it might just be easier, you know, if everybody, just, I haven't heard anybody say anything bad about them so far.
Yeah. Okay,
so,
well, good.
I appreciate it.
Well, absolutely.
Are you going to see if there's that place up north?
I thought about it. We had that surgery, so I apologize, but I can at least inquire about. I mean, I don't know because I'm thinking about how we're going to get them here too.
Trailers
and stuff too. So
yeah, well, these had to be. See, what we did, we got 10 of those fabric with the arms, and then the rest. I think we got 40 or so of the folding chairs. Because we knew we didn't need everybody to have them.
Yeah,
and it does take up more room.
It does. Yeah, I agree. But they do fit under the tables, which is good.
Okay.
And so it's just however many they think that we think or that we needed the foldable versus, you know, the actual one with arms.
Okay.
So I'll talk to Mike about it too. He kind of had a number in mind. So,
okay. Yeah.
But,
so they doing this at 3 or 4 o'clock.
Yeah, I think so. Sometime after nap. I got to run to Newcastle house for some errands.
I think we're going to use it as maybe the SI at some point.
Oh,
so,
okay.
But we were at my best friend's daughter's turn over the weekend. And they ended up getting one from Sam's Club. And it was pretty reasonable. And the kids loved it. So we thought, hey, it might be good to have.
I never knew that they did that.
Yeah. So, I probably have a picture of it from yesterday.
Yeah, I just think there's so many similarities.
One of my other friends just opened up a barber shop in Middletown, downtown.
Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah, and it's got a little boots on it, so you can decorate it however you want. So the kids loved it, so we got that exact same one. So yeah, it'll be fun. So you could use it at some point.
You're getting stepped on.
Yeah, yeah. So we've had a good weekend. It's been busy. So
hey, Wilson.
Say hi.
Did you see Mom order?
You have the most beautiful eyes.
That's what I tell him too.
Yeah,
Carson got one yesterday.
They change between blue and green just depending on what he's wearing.
Okay.
But I never thought I'd have kids with blue eyes or green eyes. You know what I mean? Mine are brown.
Yeah.
But then hands are green, so.
Okay.
But I just never thought I'd have kids that were those colors. But I'll take it. He's an angel. I'd have 10 more if they were all like him. You know.
So Parker was a little different.
Dude, she's got blue eyes too.
No,
so. Well, she just she has me. You know, she's just always kind of been with it. You know, she's always kind of got it. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So she's more emotional.
Okay.
They're just so different, you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
She's always, it seems like she's understood everything we've said
she's
since she's been
more
born,
cognitively.
You know?
Well, I think that's part of being female, too.
Yeah, and he's more physical than she was at that age, you know?
Yeah.
So, but it's good. We'll take anything. Yeah. And we're so blessed.
You are. You absolutely are.
Yeah.
It's a busy season.
Yeah, but I'm excited. I told Bob about Ryan starting, or, you know, he's going to be the pastor down there.
Yeah.
It looks like a pretty big church down that way.
He was always a great guy.
And he's been over here in Newcastle. I don't know where, but he's got adopted two kids.
Whoa, where'd
they
come
fostering.
From?
They originally were going to foster one child, but they ended up having a little sibling baby. And so they've got like six kids to take care of. And the baby, their issues with drugs, I guess, with the mother. And so he had to learn how to use a feeding tube, and they had to go get trained up on all of it. So I don't know how they do it.
So the two that are being fostered, they're not permanent.
Not permanent.
So they don't know how long they're going to have.
Exactly. Okay. So, but I know it's a big change. That's a big step. You know?
That's huge.
And he's grown up around here, and but I'm excited for him.
Good. Yeah.
I've never been and listened to him. But maybe if we're ever, you know, down that way or something, you know.
What's the town again?
Ellettsville, just outside of Bloomington.
Yeah.
So.
It's a nice area.
Yeah. So. What do you think, Wilson Jed?
Where's that go?
You ready to go? But yeah, I'll talk to Jan to see where
okay.
She remembers where she got him. So,
oh, he says it's time to go.
Oh, he's ready to go.
Ready for some lunch.
He doesn't like to be stationary too long.
I think he needs to become more independent.
I got your picture this week.
Oh, good. Yes.
And I brought it in with me today just to see if I could get it up when I can.
Oh, wonderful. Good. I'm glad that worked out.
Does the Cadillac cop drive a white car? Plain white.
They drive all cars because they have their own.
Well, I saw they had somebody stopped at the road here this morning when I came in.
Yeah. So like a white Dodge?
And he was parked down here in front of the church on Easter afternoon. I went to Newcastle to see my sister, and when I came back, he was parked out here in front of the church. And it's just a plain white car.
I don't know which one it is, so I'll have to
ask. It's not marked, and I didn't know if it was pounding or what it is.
I said, I was like, you miss Sheila. She always wants to talk to you. Yeah.
Good to see you. Nice to meet you.
Good to see you, Elaine. It's a going. Yeah, this is my new go toy.
And he just keep going.
I'm using mine more.
Okay. If it's short distances, I can use a cane to go in and out of a restaurant. But I do carry a pad to sit on that makes it easier to get up. But I still have no balance or anything.
And then
so
it just makes it not as far. As
oh, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. It's all right.
You
just adjust. Right. Well, thank you very much. Good to see you guys.
Yeah, okay.
I don't want to do anything.
It's so cute. It's not.
Hi.
Parker, you ready to go?
Yeah, you ready to go?
She's back there.
Oh, Parker.
Cute.
I thought she was around the corner.
Would you get one corral?
Oh, I'm going to start.
Here's
yeah.
The keys. The keys are in this bag.
That's okay. I'll be staying outside. It's nice.
Yeah.
And inside, it's that hot and cold weather. I like being outside. He likes being outside too. So, see you next week. Yes. It's going to be May. I can't believe that.
Walgreens,
go to Walmart. Okay.
That's a neat idea, though. I think
as many
answers
you can, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
No.
Not at all.
For
a week
from
today. Yeah.
Then we'll go
Walgreens.
Right.
Good. We'd already talked about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'd
already talked about that.
I'll send something.
I'll see you after
this. Because the plane don't have to.
Hold hands.
Thank you very much.
Where's Daddy?
Daddy's
gonna be
awesome.
Did you see my lovely?
He's enjoying the
sunshine.
Oh, that's
yours. Okay. That's really nice. I think it looks pretty good. The petals look really good.
For the outfit. You being an artist, this is.
Hey.
This one turned out pretty good. And this, these two, not so much.
No, I think they did. I really like the blue one, probably the best.
This one?
Of all four, yeah. You see how the petals are kind of curling down a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm right behind you.
Okay.
the day after Mother's Day. We'll leave early Monday morning. And eventually we'll take a couple nights to go down to Fort Myers area.
Okay.
And then we'll be down there for like 9 nights. And then coming home, we'll stay a night or two.
Fort Myers, that's all the way down.
All the way down. Yeah, it's a good long way, but we have free lodging. One of the couples here at the church, they have a daughter and son-in-law that own a property down there. They're letting us use it.
Oh, that's neat.
And so we're thrilled.
Down the coast then?
No, it's actually in a little town called, or a fairly newer town called Alva, Florida, which this is in a country club setting.
Okay.
Has its own. Bye, Josie. That was an excellent singing. Yeah. It's got its own pool in the backyard.
Okay.
So
have all that stuff without really having to get up and get out or whatever.
Yeah, and she likes going to places like condos on the beach.
Uh-huh.
I never get on the sand. I never touch the sand. And so I don't mind. I like the looks.
Thing, huh?
Well, even now it's the stability.
Yeah,
there's no way I could go out. Because even just walking like in that yard there, even with a walker, I could fall. It's that my ankles just don't have the sense of straightening themselves up as I'm walking, and still no feeling in my feet. So give me solid surface.
Yeah,
and I'm okay.
Have a good time.
Hey, you guys too.